This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Show on the Fan. It's the 4 o'clock hour on a victory Monday for both teams, the Green Bay Packers and your Milwaukee Brewers, and we're talking about both with you at 414-799-1250. Gary Ellerson on the phone, so they are wide open for you at 414-799-1250. We have news out of Miller Park. Joe Zenzola down there hustling and bustling. Radio Joe with the news that Brandon Woodruff will start tomorrow for the Milwaukee Brewers. Adam McKelvey then piggybacking on that he is expected to be the opener tomorrow. Gio Gonzalez will then follow, but they are hoping that Woody, at this point, with 13 left, will get not one, but two, not three starts before the end of the season, the regular season, with hopes that in each of those starts, they will be able to stretch him out a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And then at the point where you hopefully would get into the playoffs, you can have Brandon Woodruff for maybe four innings at that point. He's going to start slowly, but to get Brandon Woodruff back in the fold at this point, Gary, I mean, you've been in a locker room in this sense where you get a dude back that you know is a horse that you counted on all year long, and then you get that guy back after he's been working his tail off. You've seen him doing it just to try to get back for the very tail end of the season. That tells you something about Woody.
No, I mean, well, you got to get him back at some point. You got to work him in. So, I mean, that's just the progression of how we're going to get him to help us win some ball games. And in today's new baseball, I mean, all these guys only going like four innings anyway. So, I mean, I think this works out great, and it alleviates some of the pressure that you have right too in your rotation.
Sparky, we've been talking about Brandon Woodruff coming back and had the eyeballs on it, that once he comes back, you start to feel a little bit more sense of normalcy in that rotation, and they use him as the opener, open up for Gio Gonzalez, totally contrasting styles. How do you like the move that they're bringing Woody back now? They get him back finally with 13 games left.
I don't really understand what they're doing, to be honest with you. I mean, I get that you want to put him back in that role, but unless you think he's going to get to the point of throwing 90 pitches again here at some point, I don't know why you're rushing this. Why not just leave him in the back end of the bullpen to give you another option to Josh Hader and let him be back there versus having him come in, throw 40 pitches, and then yanking him, or 35 pitches?
Isn't that even counterintuitive, because then you're changing his role that he's been pretty much his whole career at this point? I mean, I know last year he was in the bullpen, but he was the early rotation guy. He'd come out open. He did that a few different times in October last year.
Mm-hmm. Sure, but they've done it with every other person, Peralta,
yeah,
Burns.
But no other guys were all-stars.
Go through it, right. But, I mean, this guy isn't going to be able to throw 90 pitches. Now, if they're going to say, well, he'll be up to 90 pitches by the All-Star, by the time we get to the postseason, if we do this wink and start forcing our wild card game, if that's the plan, that, okay, he's going to be able to go in the wild card game full go, and we just got to work him up to that point, okay, fine, I understand that. I mean, either way, it doesn't really matter. If they start him and they bring him out of the bullpen, he's still better than what they have.
Correct.
Regardless, providing he's right, which we don't know, because there can be no rehab assignments because they don't have anybody. Or nowhere to put him, right? Biloxi, I guess. Is Biloxi's series still going?
They're still in the playoffs, but yeah.
They just had Saladino activated in that Biloxi squad the other day. So I guess maybe you could have sent him there, but I'm guessing that wasn't even a consideration. They're just going to play him up here and see what happens.
So you don't like the decision to have him start in a sense, because like Gary said, it makes good sense that they don't have starters usually go anyway. late in games anyway. Jordan Lyles' six-inning appearance was the first I've seen in 2 weeks.
And as you said, that's because nobody's any good. So, I mean, that's part of the reason. But my only issue with this is if he's only going to be able to pitch, you know, 30 to 40 pitches, I'd rather have him in a situation in the back of that bullpen to solidify that versus going out there for a couple of innings, I guess, and setting somebody else up, and that back of that bullpen still becomes an issue. Because right now, even though it's been home run Hader, right now, on a day when Hader doesn't pitch, Yeah, everybody can say, well, I like Ray Black. Well, until yesterday, then that didn't work out. I mean, you're really kind of rolling the roulette wheel right now at this point when Hader can't pitch in a tight game situation. It would be nice to have another for sure arm that I know can go out there and give me a quality inning or two in those situations. And that's why I'd rather have Woodruff back there. As you said, he was in the bullpen last year to a certain degree as well. Only because they're in the postseason run here. That's what my thinking is,
sure,
of how you're going to use him in the postseason. Unless you're planning on comboing him and Gio Gonzalez the rest of the way out through the postseason. And then we'll see how that works. You're going to let him go one time through the lineup and pitch maybe three innings or an inning and a half, mm-hmm, or whatever. And then Gio Gonzalez is going to come in. Or you let him go one time through the lineup and then go to the bullpen. We'll have to wait and see.
I like the style pairing with Gio and Woodruff, because
sure,
they're totally two
totally
different guys
different.
That you're getting a viewpoint on the,
yep,
ball. They throw the ball completely different. Their arsenals are completely different. So if you're right, if it's a pairing between Gonzalez and Woodruff, I like that a little bit more than if Woodruff just goes out there blindly for the first two innings of the game. So Brandon Woodruff will start tomorrow. He will open for Gio Gonzalez. The Brewers get him back about 6 weeks after that oblique strain, which we're talking about. That's probably where the optimistic side would be for you getting back from that oblique injury. 414-799-1250. Packers get a 21-16 win. Brewers still in the thick of it with a pennant race and 2.5 weeks to go. We're taking your phone calls on both here at 414-799-1250.
Let's go to AL out in Philadelphia. AL, you up next, 105.7F in the Fan. What you got, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, what's up?
Not much, man. I've been hearing a couple people chime in reference to the team's offense or the lack of a so-called second wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I think you guys kind of like dug into that, too. I have to respectfully disagree with y'all in reference to that. I think we got the tools or the weapons that we need. We just need a little bit of time for them to gel. I mean, you got to keep in mind, every time we had a receiver, we never had like a, let me just say, like a first-round stud to ever come to the Packers. Everything, every time we had a good receiver, for the most part, it's been like best, basically, you know, through the draft, and we brought them up, you know, throughout, you know, just getting reps and just getting time to play.
Right.
It's a whole nother offense that these dudes are just, you know, being adjusted to. Even the quarterback, even if you have to wear a wristband with all this different verbiage and stuff on there, if he has to do that, every time you talk about the Packers, everybody says how smart Aaron Rodgers is. If he has to resort to a wristband, imagine what these wide receivers got to do in order to be able to understand what play, what route to run, with this change of the line, so on and so forth. So I just feel like everybody, it's only week two. And we 2-0. And we have, you know, signs of our offense, you know, Truman on the right, you know, note yesterday. But it faltered. But we just got to wait time. Like, if this was week eight, week nine or something, then, yeah, I would be more concerned about it. But just try to be patient. Just let things play out. I think we're going to be fine.
Well, who's the guy that you think that could be that number two guy across from Davante Adams?
Well, I think either MVS or even, yeah, or Allison.
Okay.
You got to get time. Like, you got to give him a chance to play. I see that Aaron Rodgers finally calling him MVS now instead of just saying number 83 or whatever number he was using last year. So,
right.
He's getting more comfortable with him. But, I mean, I just think MVS is. I mean, he has all the physical tools to be so. He can go deep. You know, he's a deep threat. He's not dropping the ball like he was last year. And he seems to be in the right place at the right time when he needs to be. So, it's just all about time and just being patient, fellas.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I do agree. I think in his offense, and I don't know, maybe you do need a number two, but if it goes to the way it did this weekend, it's Davante Adams and it's Aaron Jones.
Correct. And that's how the offense should be built.
So that's how it's going to be. And then the number two guy will be like the third guy.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels
and
like.
That could rotate.
Right, and that could rotate week to week.
Right, that could be option based.
But what we do know, that is Jones and Adams. That's what it feels like this week. I mean, they did a lot of different variations with those two guys to work some plays to get them open. I like the way they got them, which I thought they were going to do. Get them outside, get them on some slip screens, get Jamal Williams in with them at the same time, talking about Aaron Jones. And I think he maybe become your number two guy. And then the next receiver is like the third option, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But that could change week to week, game to game.
Well, and two, like, because it can be matchup-based, right?
Correct.
So if teams' inside linebackers are strong, like this Minnesota Vikings team with Kendricks and Barr,
right,
you're probably not going to be able,
right,
to get the ball to Jimmy Graham,
right,
as much,
no,
as you'd like to.
No, you're not. And we just heard the press conference from Matt LaFleur, and he was trying to, and Bill was getting at him a little bit, he was trying to explain to everybody like how he based his plays. And we all know this, Steve Nutt. We talked to David Bakhtiari about this last week, that all these plays are built off of one another. Which means, this is what I'm getting to, if they have a sequence of plays to get to a play, I think it's very important that they stay with the play, or at least how that set looks. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure, and not deviating too much from what the base would look like.
Right.
You can go to another option in the play, but keep the pre-snap motion and everything like that the same.
Because it sounds like they're doing check with me. And that's what I grew up on. When I was in Green Bay, we did check with me. And check with me was they just give you two plays a call.
That's what he said the offense was when he took the job. And so, that's when all this controversy started about there's no audibles.
Right. So the check would mean there's two plays called. And so you've got two plays. So you can choose either play. Right? One. I mean, but you're actually in the same set, but you have different plays off that same set. So you still can get in a good play with the check with means.
My favorite formation, and Stevie, I know that this had to have been something that you've been salivating at, was in that first drive with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams in the backfield together.
Yep.
And Gary, now I don't know how you guys used to run it with the screen passes, but this was similar to how I've known it for a long time. You have one option on the right side, usually a tunnel wide receiver screen with half the line, and the other half of the line sets up for something else.
Right.
And they ran that to perfection with those two backs in the backfield.
No, we didn't run it like that.
Because we had one where it would be a tunnel screen on the outside, and three would drift off with the running
that's
back.
That's the new football.
That was sweetness. And
I hated screens.
You didn't like
it?
What?
Well, because when we ran them, you know, it was either to the right or left, but you had to go through. So we did it like, because we ran the ball a lot, and so we did it off play action pass. So we would have to go through the line, right?
Get
through the tackle. And then come all the way back round, right? And so when you're coming back around behind the line of scrimmage, you're going to be looking at the quarterback. And then your blockers now are coming over by you. Well, when you're looking back at a quarterback, you don't know if them jokers missing somebody or not.
Yeah. And they do miss people every once
in a
while.
You can't see it.
You're just trusting.
You're just trusting, like, I just hope they don't let nobody through. Because we pull the lineman, you know, it's a run block, pass block.
Yep.
They pull the lineman, they come out, and then you set up like they set up like a wall. So, and you're just naked.
Having no idea, just praying that it all works out. And it works.
I like the way they do it. I mean, they do it almost like the new way of football is those slip screens. The slip screens became more advantageous that you can really get that guy out there right now with his blockers much quicker.
And it's easier from an offensive lineman perspective because you go into a pass set.
Yes.
You invite the rush up, you open it up as a pass set, the rushers come forward on you, and then you're able to slip back and just be in front of that guy. For Sparky, that had to just be a tinkle in your eye at the Mecca with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones working to perfection.
That's what I asked for last year. Couldn't get it, no matter how much I begged on the air. Couldn't get those two in the backfield together. And you can run it the exact same way and run many different things out of that set. And you can do it over and over again. I think for me, the one thing that I guess I'm surprised by two things so far, Gary.
What's that?
I'm surprised that Kumerow's not been more involved. He had a catch. But that he hasn't been more involved or a target. Do you have a catch or just a target? I'm trying to remember if he caught a ball or not. I know they threw it to him at least once. But anyhow, Kumerow.
One catch for 12 yards on one target.
I was right. Okay. So Kumerow and Vitaly. I thought they would have used Vitaly way more involved in this offense based on what they showed a little bit in preseason and practices with him slipping out and running down the sideline and using him in the passing game. Short yardage, I thought he'd be more involved in that. I guess I'm surprised those two guys not being more involved in this offense.
Well, you got 14 more games, right?
I mean, plenty of time.
So you got plenty of time to do this, but what that does to MVS, what has he done? Well, he caught the one pass in Soldier Field, but really, I thought he'd be more involved before Kumerow.
Yeah.
And I just still think that it's a learning process. They're trying to figure it out. Here's what you can tell, though, in this game, and for me, Geronimo Allison was a focal point in this offense for this game. Like, they wanted to get him going. you could also tell that Aaron Jones, they really want to get him going and him be a focal point. So I think what they can do is they can like slowly bring these guys in and mix them to what they got. And I think what we've always said, I think you can have a different guy almost every week do something, because they've got a lot of different skill sets from a lot of different guys out there that bring different things to the table.
That makes it a little bit harder for them to game plan.
It does.
I mean, you know Devontae and Aaron Jones and what they're going to be involved in, but you don't know who the key other guy's going to be on a given day.
Exactly.
And that should help. I'm losing faith in Jimmy Graham, but that should help Jimmy Graham open up things a little bit for him too.
But so at Soldier Field in Chicago, Jimmy Graham felt like he was more of a focal point of what the offense, what they're going to do. I think all this stuff is a fluid situation. I think it'll all kind of work itself out, but I think it'll be different, or it can be each game. Because they've got a lot of weapons, and they're all different.
There's only one play that I've felt is now old reliable for Matt LaFleur. And it includes Jimmy Graham or Mercedes Lewis. And it's the only play that I think I've seen them run in both of the two games. The play action bootleg with the deep crossing levels pattern. They love that play. And that, like you were just saying, can open up for a different dude each week.
Right. That's a McCarthy play, too. McCarthy
love that play myself.
Yeah.
Love it. Love that play. Works in Madden pretty
coming
much
out
every
the back
time,
door
too.
Like that, cuz.
He didn't run that nearly as much back in the day, though. Towards the end, McCarthy didn't run that nearly as much.
No. What?
Don't you remember? He barely ever ran that towards the end.
That's what I call it, coming out the back door. I mean, that boot like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you fake it, and then you coming out the back door, right? And sometimes there's nobody over there. I love that play. I love it when you can get the backside tight end is coming over there, and then if you go double tight the front side, he's kicking down the block, right? Because you got to wait for that.
Waiting to see if he's got to wham somebody through.
I think it was the Rams. Was it the Rams? Ran a play from that same formation, and they had the slot guy come all the way down inside. Or maybe it was Kansas City. I think he ran like a – it was just – but it was the same set that the Packers – I think it was the Rams. Same
I think it was the Rams because I think it was Cup that caught the
was
pass.
Was it Cup? He came down inside all the way underneath, and then came back and ran like a post. I mean, there was nobody there. Nobody. This offense, I like. I think there's a lot of – if it's played right, if they do it, I think they can – I don't think Roger Stevie – y'all got the T-shirts, right?
Well, see, this is the deal because somebody jumped aboard this weekend that I've been waiting for before we print up these – I got like 6 or 7 mocks ready to go. I got a back order that's ready as long as the Jags cover the spread on Thursday night. And we've been waiting for somebody to jump aboard for my favorite one of the designs for the T-shirts.
You got T-shirts y'all been talking about or not?
He's been in charge of the whole thing.
You going to put it on him now?
I haven't done anything.
Okay.
He's been the one doing the whole thing.
You know,
he's
I'm the point, man, because I'm here trying to make a couple of dollars
he's
on this. Like
it.
Stevie was just like, we
but
should
you
make some T-shirts.
It,
I'm trying
you call
to make a couple
it
of
MVP
bucks.
Season, right, Stevie?
Rodgers Revenge Tour.
Rodgers Revenge Tour, yeah.
See, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, if they're 13-3 and win the NFC – he's going to be the MVP.
Not if he's only throwing for like 200, 250 yards a game.
I'm telling you.
So
unless there's some type of records broke, everybody expects New England now to be that team.
Yeah.
So no matter what Brady does, that's not going to change anything because everybody knows what he has for weapons. So there's not going to be any respect there. They go 13-3 off of what they did last year.
Yeah.
Rodgers is winning the MVP.
I think so. Not without numbers, he's not.
Won't matter.
So you said he might not do one, but you didn't say they wouldn't do the other.
Right. If the MVP is the way it's going and it feels like what they're doing, basically they're taking the ball out of Rodgers' hand. 250, he might have some 300 games. I think it just feels like those games for him, like they are far.
Oh, he's so close. He wants to admit it.
He only had, they had a quarter where that offense looked untouchable. There's going to be games where they're going to look like that for 3-4 quarters.
Well, okay, we'll see.
You'll see.
We'll see.
And that's how he's going to pile his numbers up. He'll have games where he throws 3-4 touchdowns.
I just don't think he might, but I don't think those numbers are going to be as huge. I mean, give me the
Breeze is out 6 weeks. Roethlisberger's gone for a year.
No.
Yeah.
What's the most yards he's ever thrown in a season? Rodgers.
I'll have that for you next, but Gary also is saying that the MVP might not be the right one.
But the other
part of the prediction seems like it's open for Gary Ellerson, Wendy's Big Show.
center field. Bader going back, watches it. Gone!
Yes!
A grand slam for Ryan Braun on a 3-2 pitch with two outs, and the Brewers take the lead.
My goodness, what an at-bat by Ryan Braun. How about that one? Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm definitely not as good as I was, but in big moments, I'm the guy still. I still want that opportunity. I believe in myself. I've had a lot of success in those moments, and I think I'm able to lock it in a little bit more.
I'm still the guy. Just let everybody know I'm still here. That's Ryan Braun. After he hits a game-changing, season-changing.
Division-changing.
It was the turning point with Great Lakes Dragway yesterday after the game of the game, the series, the season, the division race, and possibly Ryan Braun's career.
This
is back to
his
where we were listening to.
It's done.
Did you hear Rock? He gave a yes.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a second? Do you have just the highlight without the bra and all that mixed down?
Yeah,
just the highlight?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now, tell me if this bothers you, because people on Twitter have been going back and forth with me on this today. Go ahead, play.
Braun, center field. Bader going back. Watches it. Go! A grand slam for Ryan Braun on a 3-2 pitch with two outs, and the Brewers take the lead.
My goodness.
Okay.
First of all, nice job, Craig Kishon. That was improving.
Did you have a problem with Rock at all? Say yes! Do you have a problem with it?
No.
And people need to chill out.
Why?
First of all, look, because this goes back to Billy.
I'm usually
the guy.
Yeah.
This is Billy stuff here, right? Yep. Let the play-by-play guy do his job, and you, color analyst, you go, shh, quiet.
Well, let me hear it again.
Yelled yes. That's all he did.
Let me just see.
Braun, center field. Bader going back. Watches it. Go!
Yes!
A grand slam for Ryan Braun.
Right.
You can't contain that.
No, right.
No, see, now that's
my thing. Like,
yeah,
dude.
You can't.
Okay.
You got to be that guy.
Yeah.
And then apparently, I didn't hear it, but apparently later on, he kind of like apologized. You know, like, we're supposed to be non-partial
or
something?
I'm supposed to be non-biased. I'm supposed to let him do the job.
Okay.
I couldn't do it. I had to get excited.
First of all, and I'm going to say on the air what I said on Twitter.
Say it on air, Steve.
When you, and Billy and I are probably going to disagree about this, but when you are calling the Brewers, the Cubs, the White Sox, the Cardinals, and you're calling it for your team. This isn't a national call. Your team?
Right.
I don't want you to be non-partial, non-biased, all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
You root for your team. This is your team.
Right.
I don't want Bob Uecker to be non-biased, non-partial.
Yeah,
call the game
that.
And be excited. Mm-hmm. Everybody back in the day hated Ron Santo, whatever else. I'm sorry. I love the man. That man just screamed and yelled and went crazy like the fans were doing at home. Whether it's Brad Brown dropping a ball at Miller Park and saying, oh my God, oh no. That whole stuff, man, that's awesome. I want all of that. Give me it. That's why I love McLaughlin and Paschke. If I wanted a couple of robots, I could turn on a national broadcast and get that.
And I want that passion. I like that passion. I do that passion when I call games. The listeners to you are Brewers fans. You can cheer for the Brewers. But make it, like, the reason why it was so good, the yes from Rock, is because it matches up with iconic moments, and you can go back to that exact moment.
On the ground, a chance here. Durham to Hardy to first.
Yes!
The Brewers win!
Yes!
Like that. That is entrenched in your mind, because otherwise you don't hear Rock give the yes, yes, yes! Like, it made that moment feel as big as it was, unlike somebody in this state who, on a third and 19, there's an incomplete pass, and it's just incomplete! Incomplete!
Let me tell you this, Bill. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I do want all my guys, I want a homer. That's why
right,
I'm
for
I
sure.
passionate, right? That's what we want. I'm at Lambeau Field. I have to tell the story, and there's no Brewer game on. I mean, we're in hinterland.
Packers just got the W. People are juiced.
I mean, they're juiced. I mean, they're absolutely. I mean, the crowd is juiced.
It was loud yesterday.
Everybody was talking about the crowd. How I mean, it was loud. It was juiced. It was festive. I was going to tell you this earlier. Too many Viking fans. 60-40. I don't know if you guys saw
it. I was very happy. The Mega Sports Bar and Grill, we were doing the party.
Yeah.
Not nearly as many Vikings fans as there were Bear fans of previous
week.
Ton
of Vikings
fans. They wanted to see their boy Brett.
Maybe that's what it was because he was there. Mm-hmm. Ton of Viking fans. I mean, it was just over the top. I don't know what's going on. But the crowd was absolutely unbelievable. Now, we're over at Hinterland, and you want to play that again?
Mm-hmm.
Just the first part of that. Just
Braun, center field, Bader going back, watches it, go!
Yes!
A grand slam!
Okay, so we didn't have any, Bill and I didn't have anything going. The crowd at Hinterland has this big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Bill's checking his phone now. He's got the computer going, oh my God. And then people are screaming, Bronny just hit a grand slam. So now we got to go on the radio and talk about Bronny hit a grand slam right then and there. I mean, it is just, I just think what a great time to be like a Wisconsin night. I mean, it is just incredible. You're in the middle
too
of just
fun.
What was going on there. And people are really, I mean, they're listening to Bill and I. Of course they are. But still, there are a lot of people who are still paying attention because they already got the Packer win. Now let's just see what the Brewers are going to do. That play's just erupting. We're trying to figure out what was going on. It was Ryan Braun. Now, unbelievable.
I was at a Packer game back in 2011 when the Brewers were making their run with Prince and Braun, and you felt like they were going to be able to go to that spot and make it to the World Series. They still do like the in-game breaks during the Packer game where they show you scores around the league or whatever.
No.
In-house in Lambeau, they'll show you like, oh, the Bears are getting beat by the Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
So in the middle, scoreboard,
right, yes.
So in the middle of those breaks during the game, they were giving Brewer updates. They were saying, Brewers are up 3-2 and the place would go nuts. Like that for something at a Packer game to hear the jubilation that you guys had
crazy.
Was
well,
nuts.
Yeah,
right. Like if it would have been in the game, in the moment
and
like flashed, that.
Yeah, people would have went crazy. It's just straight crazy. But it was awesome. It was great. Glad to be a part of it. I just think when you look at the Brewers now, who would have thought now how many games they got left?
13 left.
13 left. And we were talking about this today on the phone. I mean, if they could only lose 4 games out the gate, it would be absolutely
incredible.
It's
possible. They're playing off cellar dwellers.
Yes.
If you win every series on the way out here, you play 4 against the Padres, you take 3 of 4 to win the series there, and then 3s on the way out with the Pirates, Reds, and Rockies. You win all those series, and you finish at 9-4 with those last 13. That 88 wins should get you in. Like that there's no way
it shouldn't get you
in at this point. We got to get to our boy Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com.
Woody and I kind of together a little bit. This weekend,
got talking together
because
I didn't know what that motion was like. If you guys were hanging out together, watching some football, hanging out,
just talking,
you know, maybe enjoying a couple of things, or you know, maybe you guys were just talking about the ring that Woody was trying to get his girl for Sweetest Day because it's coming up here.
Hey,
when
is Sweetest Day?
Sometime in October.
Is it really?
Oh yeah.
Steve, can you look up Sweetest Day season? When it
there
is?
Are major
I think it's the 17th, I think. I think it's the 17th.
October 17th?
It's only a Midwest thing.
Big preparations getting going for Sweetest Day.
I'm telling you right now, because this kind of gets me excited.
October 19th, it's a Saturday.
There it is. This kind of gets me, this is about a month away then, isn't it?
Yep.
This kind of gets me excited about Sweetest Day. Because when I talk about that Pandora charm bracelet, Billy, over at the Jewelry Center, located on 76 and Layton Plaza in Brookfield off of Blue Mile Road and Tri-City National Bank mm-hmm. Building, a new location in Bergen, Wisconsin. This kind of gets me giddy. Because if you got that Pandora bracelet, right, that Sweetest Day, because normally they don't think you're going to get them anything for Sweetest Day, because like Steve says, Midwest made up holiday.
Like literally nobody else in the country does this.
Literally nobody does it. This will be a good time to get that one little charm for Sweetest Day.
Mm-hmm. Just a little extra. A little something extra.
She didn't think it was coming. That's what I'm saying. Don't let it go stale, guys. Don't let your relationship go stale. Still continue to do the little things and not spend a whole lot of money for it. Still stay within your budget. My good friends over at Jewelry Center can help you out with that. 76, was that, Steve? 76 in Layton?
Layton, yep.
Layton Plaza in Brookfield, Blue Mountain Road. Third location in Burlington, Wisconsin. Go check my good friend out, Dean Murray. He's the owner. He's always there. Remember this, guys. He's going to give you the most money for your old gold jewelry. Go check the Jewelry Center out today.
Ryan Wood joins us next, our Green and Gold Insider here on the Wendy's Big Show, talking Packers after a 21-16 beatdown of the Vikings.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance. PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for all your home, auto, and commercial business needs. Visit them at pc-insurance.net.
Ryan Wood joins us from the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, talking Packers football. He's been on the beat for quite a few years, but quite a few years.
This guy, you know that?
Everybody loves Ryan Wood. And Ryan, right now, today, the situation is we haven't been in this situation with the Green Bay Packers 2-0 with this kind of optimism in a few years. Tell us why we should be optimistic and excited about a 2-0 Packers win when they go up 21-0 and then 16 unanswered, but still win the game.
Yeah, it was a weird game for sure. You saw improvement on offense. Now, when the offense started touchdown, 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 you would have liked to see more improvement in the last three quarters, and you saw nothing there. But there was clear improvement, especially on script, from week two to week one. The reason, though, that there's legitimate optimism here, I mean, kind of a whoa start.
Whoa.
At 2-0 is this defense. And so, the Vikings, that's a pretty talented offense that they held to 16 points. I mean, Aaron Rodgers outlined it after the game yesterday. He called Kirk Cousins a franchise quarterback. I think that might be a little nice. But Dalvin Cook, the lead running back, Diggs and Thielen have made Lambeau Field their personal playground. For years, they've torched this Packers secondary over and over again. And what those two corners, King and Alexander, did to those guys yesterday was very impressive. Now, they didn't shut them out.
Yeah, you see how you did that?
They took them out of the game.
See how you did that? So. Not without a laugh, not straight face. I mean, that's why I like this guy. I mean, you know.
I wish I had that kind of power. He says that was kind of nice.
Yeah,
a nice way to say it. So, Ryan, you were not so nice in describing Mitch Trubisky's performance. Was this because the Packers defense is this good, or is it because we also have another year where the quarterback, or another game where the quarterback of the opposing team just maybe is not that good?
He's better than, I think Kirk Cousins better than Trubisky.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything from Trubisky. Kirk Cousins can give us, and Kirk Cousins can take us.
Well,
away.
He's on the list, Woody. I mean, no
for
doubt.
For sure
about
he
it.
Is, yep.
You know, I've got a list of quarterbacks.
He can make some throws.
Yeah.
Like Mitch Trubisky.
The one he put on Diggs were on the money.
Yeah, like Kirk Cousins can actually throw the football. I mean, he's got that going for him. Now he makes some boneheaded plays sometimes. But what you saw Kirk Cousins do over and over again yesterday is not a coincidence. He threw the ball into the ground over and over again. Why? Because he had nowhere to throw and he didn't have much time to get rid of it. And that's why this defense has a chance. It's only two games, so they've got to do it. You know, what are the Vikings' defense? What are the Bears' defense? What are the top the Seahawks' defense a few years ago especially? What do the top defenses do? They do it every week. That's the thing that this Packers' defense needs to do. But why this Packers' defense has a chance is because they've got their pass rush and their coverage working in lockstep so soundly right now. And they are just feeding off of each other. I mean, the Smiths have combined with what they already had in Kenny Clark to give them both an edge and an interior pass rush that is unlike something that they've had for a couple years now. And it's a big if. They need Kevin King to stay healthy. I mean, that's huge. They've got to have him on the field. But if they have Kevin King stay healthy and they have Jair Alexander, those two guys are every bit as invaluable as anything you've seen up front in the pass rush. What those guys did yesterday was incredible.
You know, Ryan, this game yesterday, we talked about Aaron Jones, obviously, and you brought up, nice to actually get that guy 23 carries, plus they threw the ball to him. This is how we wanted him used last year. I like that him and Jamal Williams were in the backfield together. I wanted that last year. We finally got to see that a little bit yesterday. Happy with that. But a guy on defense that got brought up earlier in the Wendy's Big Show, almost like he's taken another step in this defense, and wanted to know if you thought the same thing, is Blake Martinez.
Yeah, he's the quarterback. He's in a lot of ways the straw that stirs the drink. He is extremely important to the pre-snap communication. I mean, he's got tentacles at all levels. I mean, I think he wears the headset, so he's very important to making the whole thing work. I think that the question for him this year, as far as production, is that dynamic playmaking. Can he make that jump there? He's not going to be a coverage linebacker. That's not his game. But you don't need that right now. There's a lot of things that Mike Pettine can do schematically to mask that. And the things that Blake Martinez does is extremely important to this defense. And there's a reason why Mike Pettine has praised Blake Martinez time and time again. And when they talk, he's talked about how this is such a smart group. I think it was just last week that Mike Pettine mentioned how this group is one of the smarter groups he's been around. They can handle a lot. Blake Martinez is at the very front of that line. So, yeah, absolutely. He's a big part of it.
No, and I think he is. But I think you're right about the cornerbacks. Well, Kevin King, he's got to stay healthy. But listen, I know they're only 2-0, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. But they could have probably four Pro Bowlers at each level. I mean, if you look at Kenny Clark, played another great game. If you look at Blake Martinez, Kevin King, Jair Alexander, I mean, all four of those guys to me are playing lights out.
And you didn't even get to the Smiths.
You're right.
Those guys, maybe, you know? I mean, they've right. got a chance, right?
Yes, yes.
Look, the reality for the Packers is this. They're 2-0, and they haven't even played all that well. Like they haven't, if you look at, they've got to be thinking internally, they haven't played their best game,
and they haven't
even come close to playing what they can do, their best game. They've had one good quarter of offensive football in eight. Aaron Rodgers, I tweeted this today, I mean, he doesn't rank top dozen among league quarterbacks in yards, completion percentage, yards per pass, touchdowns, rating. The top dozen in any of those, and they're 2-0. I mean, the reality here is that the biggest question that they have, it's a really nice position for this team to be in, it's not, can this defense stop anybody? Because there's been years in the past when that was the question. Like, can this defense get a stop? Well, we know the answer to that. Yeah, they can stop people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, can they fix the special teams? Because how many times, I mean, 2014, literally special teams kept this team from the Super Bowl, and it wasn't the only time that special teams has hurt this team. J.K. Scott's been phenomenal. Mason Crosby's that proven commodity at kicker. That special teams is really good right now. The biggest question is, can Aaron Rodgers play better? And considering that, I mean, unless you were just completely naive, you had to think there was going to be some adjustment time with a brand-new offense, especially going against the Bears and Vikings defenses to start off the season. The fact that there was improvement, that's a safe bet that he's probably going to play better as the season progresses and he gets more comfortable in this offense. Once he does that, and they're not going against top five defenses the first 2 weeks, and everything comes together, that's where, I mean, those are still an if. It hasn't happened yet. But if that does happen, this team could be awfully good.
Our Green and Gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com, joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show. Ryan, last night I heard Aaron Rodgers talk about the Smith brothers and what the energy that it feels like they've brought to the team and the additions also of Billy Turner and Adrian Amos. And in that quote from Rodgers, he mentioned people buying into Matt seems to have made the feel in the building different. Do you get the sense that the buy-in to Matt LaFleur is really on by all those on the team and that it's at a different level than maybe even people on the outside looking in can sense?
I think it's a lot easier to buy into not just Matt LaFleur, but any head coach when you start 2-0. I mean, when you start 2-0, guys are feeling good about everything, right? So from that standpoint, I think these first couple games, and really this first month, I've always thought it'd be important because to get off on the right foot is so critical when you're when you have a change at that level. So that helps. Now, you know what else? What also helps, and take nothing away from Matt LaFleur. I mean, you go look around the league at how teams with new head coaches. You're about to see two tonight with the Jets and the Browns on Monday Night Football. But it's not been a very good start for around the league for teams with new head coaches. So give Matt LaFleur credit there. But the guy who you cannot avoid mentioning his name right now is Brian Gutekunst. I mean, how good have these two games been for him as a GM? The guys he's brought in, making the impacts that they've made, he deserves probably the most credit in the building right now, and that's saying something.
Let's talk about this offense. We brought this up earlier in the Wendy's Big Show, too. Want to get your thoughts. Clearly right now, once we get past Rodgers, Davante Adams is the next guy in this offense. Then, based on what we saw this week, it's going to be Aaron Jones, we think. But then once we get to that next player, is that next player, do you think, going to be a player that kind of evolves and rotates from week to week based on opponent? Or do you think one of these other wide receivers or tight ends are eventually going to snag that next position in the pecking order in the offense?
Yeah, you know, I honestly don't know yet, and that's a big question this offense needs to answer. You're right, Davante Adams and Aaron Jones are the two playmakers on this offense. I could see Marquez Valdes-Scantling developing into that third guy. He had a big third down catch yesterday. He had the 47-yard biggest play of the opener. So he's been a big play guy early in his career. I think as he develops, I mean, he's still really young, and he's a fifth-round pick. I mean, I already surpassed what a lot of fifth-round picks do early in their career. So he's off to a promising start. As he develops and he becomes more consistent, that's the next step for him to really be that third guy. Jahronimo Allison, too. You know, I think it's too early to count him out. He obviously had the bad fumble yesterday, but he's a guy that the quarterback likes, and they've got good chemistry. So there's a couple guys there that have potential. It's just we haven't seen it yet, and that's going to be very important to this offense going forward, that they find that third weapon or even a fourth weapon that they can kind of bring it all together.
Hey, let's get to the elephant in the room. I mean, we've been real nice with you, Woody. Let's talk about this whole exchange we had between LaFleur and Rodgers, coming off the field. That, and I actually kind of like it.
I love
Leroy Butler taught me to love drama like this.
I love my life.
Is that too, Leroy? Because here's what we saw. I mean, we actually saw LaFleur go at Rodgers. Normally, it's Rodgers going at McCarthy, and we actually saw LaFleur kept the conversation going down the sideline, and then followed him to the bench. Your thoughts on that, Ryan Wood?
Well, the last thing you said, they're following him to the bench and sitting next to him, it's something that does not happen from a head coach. Mike McCarthy did not do that. Aaron Rodgers said Joe Philbin did that, but it's rare. And it was something that just in being in the press conference with the quarterback yesterday, it seemed that he appreciated that there was that one-on-one time during the middle of the game. It was not lost on him. The reality is this.
What's the reality?
Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers are both very ultra hyper aware that every step in their building of a relationship is going to be beyond scrutinized. I mean, under a microscope. Both guys are aware. And we know this. It's obvious because any time there is any potential sign of conflict through the first couple of weeks here, both of those guys have publicly taken ownership of their role. I mean, it's so much that even yesterday, like Aaron Rodgers, and he took ownership of this. The fourth down that they went for instead of kicking the field goal, Aaron Rodgers thought it was first down, hustled to the line yesterday. Aaron Rodgers took complete ownership of that, and he should. I mean, that was really on him. What did Matt LaFleur do? He took complete ownership of it and said, I should have been in the headset quicker. Never mind that. I mean, we know how quickly Aaron Rodgers wants to get a playoff. We know how quickly he can do that. It's like at warp speed. So both of these guys have been that way. And the reality is they both these guys know that they need this relationship to work for their best interest. It's in the best interest of Aaron Rodgers for this relationship to work. He's a very cerebral guy. He understands the outside perception of him. He understands how that changed late in the Mike McCarthy tenure. He doesn't want that to repeat. Matt LaFleur, he also knows that obviously he needs everyone to buy in, but he needs the quarterback to buy in, and there's got to be a collaboration there. So long as both of those guys continue to do what they've done, taking ownership and being aware of the scrutinization of their own relationship, I don't think there's going to be an issue. I mean, to me, that the fact that they got a heated exchange, and it was kind of mild by what we've seen on the sidelines over the past few years, the fact that they had that, it's just not that big of a deal.
Ryan, appreciate it, man. Appreciate you shedding some light on that and everything, as you always do on the Green Bay Packers, covering the team.
Gary,
like
are you good with that explanation?
Glove.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best, man.
He's the best,
okay,
man.
I just want to make sure
on the big show.
Hey, Woody, here's one last thing. I want you to enjoy that McAllen, okay?
The what? What
is it? Yes, I already have. It's excellent. Thank you much, my man.
Did you add an extra finger to it like Aaron said he would with the scotch?
What y'all talking about?
I didn't. But I did learn last night that Aaron Rodgers and I actually had something in common. So I had no idea that that was actually the case. But yes,
y'all talking about a dog? Or what are y'all talking about?
All right, Woody, we'll talk Wednesday.
A sandwich?
All right, take care.
That's Ryan Wood. Man, what are you talking for?
What are y'all talking about?
We're talking about living the life like Ryan Wood does, Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. He joins us on the Wendy's Big Show on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. The only kind of alcohol I talk about is Beauforting, but we talk about meat. It's Robert's Specialty Meats.
Our 13th annual WSSB Charity Golf Outing is coming up next week. That's right. Next week, September 25th. We got updated numbers today, and there's a couple of foursomes left, and then it's a sellout. So I would advise everybody getting on board and getting your foursome signed up. It is next week, September 25th, right around the corner. Honored to once again have Robert's Specialty Meats serving their awesome lunch buffet. But you don't have to be a golfer to experience what great tasting fresh meat from this old-time butcher shop is all about. Paul Roberts has lots of delicious options to make dinner time truly special. From hand-cut USDA steaks, prime beef tenderloin, gourmet burgers, and over 30 types of original sausages and brats, including the Al Capone Italian sausage, just full of zesty flavor. Call Roberts today at 262-549-MEAT. 262-549-MEAT for the best selection and to reserve your order. And when you visit, be sure to pick up some of their cherry wood smoked beef sticks or jerky, the perfect snack treats. You can also check them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons. For the best in meats, only one place. Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane is next at 414-799-1250. We haven't gotten to two of the biggest stories in all of sports. And Packer fans, I love you. You're so greedy, you always want more. Fill you in next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.